Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and oh boy, tonight is a big night for baseball because of what happened last night between Cleveland and Chicago.
2-0. High fly ball to left center. At the wall. Grand slam. 7-0 Chicago.
Well, that was last night, game 6 in the World Series. The Cubs' Addison Russell hit that grand slam, helping Chicago win 9-3. The series tied up 3-3. Bill Littlefield, game 7. Here we are.
It's the most fun, isn't it? A seven-game series, all of the subplots that develop over the course of it, some of them having to do with baseball. You know, a guy got 2 hits last night. Will he do anything tonight? Some of them not having anything to do with baseball because we see these guys up close for 7 games in a row, and we begin to feel like we sort of know them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a wonderful illusion provided courtesy of television. But nevertheless, it's a powerful illusion, and it's great fun to have a series go the distance.
Well, obviously, Bill, I consider you a man who needs no introduction because I failed to give you your full introduction.
Oh, that's okay.
This is Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game.
I'm delighted to understand through that introduction that I am still employed.
It's very comforting. I can confirm that much,
yes.
At least. Well, but like, so we had that, we mentioned that it was Addison Russell who hit the grand slam last night in game 6. I mean, let's talk a little bit more about him. A historic performance?
Yeah, historic in a number of different ways. The only player ever to have hit a grand slam in the World Series to be any younger than Addison Russell is Mickey Mantle. So he's joined by virtue of one swing of the bat some fairly elite company.
Addison Russell is barely legal to drink alcohol.
Yeah, and I'm sure he doesn't because he's a role model. And so
that's right.
He's
a 22-year-old slugger. I mean, wow.
He also had 6 RBIs in the game, which is a pretty good month for some guys. it was a heck of a night. And, of course, the commentators are, as I've been looking at the news today, jumping on this theory that as Addison Russell goes, so go the Cubs, which is ridiculous because somebody else could hit a home run and knock in a few runs tonight for the Cubs, and then he'd be the hero. So,
Bill, I can never tell when you say those things if you're just like the unending optimist or just the dour realist.
I'm the realist who says that making predictions is a mug's game. I mean, there were people who predicted after game 1 that Cleveland would sweep the series. So, no, didn't happen. Cubs down 3-1. Now it's 3-3. What fun.
Well, let's listen to a little bit more from Addison Russell because he spoke about what it means to head to Game 7. Here he is last night.
It's every kid's dream. I mean, it all comes down to Game 7, and we're excited. We're just going to go out here and just treat it almost like another game.
Almost, except that it's Game 7 of the World Series.
Isn't the almost wonderful?
Yeah, and especially for Chicago. I mean, okay, well, we'll stop that there. Here's Cleveland manager Terry Francona. He said pretty much the same thing in a post-game interview last night.
It's Game 7. You got 2 really, really good pitchers, and it'll be exciting. And it's an honor to even be a part of it. We're going to give everything we have.
So talk to me a little bit about pitching then, Bill.
Well, it's an interesting thing. I would have said through the first couple of games of this series that this series is demonstrating one of the truths of baseball, which is in the postseason, pitching is everything. And, of course, we've talked a little bit about this in the earlier series as well, the National League and American League Championship Series. But then all of a sudden, the Cubs score 9 runs.
Yeah.
There's not much pitching going on. And then also, you've got both teams using numerous pitchers. And, of course, in the 7th game, everybody will be available. I mean, guys will come in to get 1 out. Guys will be pitching on much less rest, potentially, than they've had through the rest of the season. So the pitching is tired, for one thing,
right.
And it maybe becomes less of a factor. Maybe, and I, again, making predictions is a mug's game, but maybe this is going to be one of these games that ends up 13-11.
Well, we'll see. Everyone's going to be on the edge of their seats tonight, I have to say. This has been so much fun to talk about, Bill, but I want to just shift gears here a little bit because there's a serious sort of sports and society and college life story that's going on right here in the Boston area. Mm-hmm. That's because Harvard president Drew Faust is now saying that the university is conducting a review of a controversial, quote, scouting report that had been put out by the Harvard's men's soccer team back in 2012. And that scouting report, again, in quotes, was one where they rated recruits for the women's soccer team based on their appearance and sexual appeal.
Right.
The Harvard Crimson, the student newspaper, reported about this last week, and now we have, again, this news that Harvard is going to conduct a review. Your thoughts about this?
Well, you know, obviously my thought is that the men on the soccer team who did participate in this were behaving like jerks and idiots and worse, and unfortunately, they represent some of the worst qualities of our culture at large, which is the inclination of men to objectify and insult women. And they did it in a as a team, yeah, which is especially unfortunate and appalling. This is not one individual saying something stupid about or to one woman. This is a group effort. I was incredibly impressed by the response of the six women who wrote the letter that has gone out all over the place, and people can find it quite easily through Google, I'm sure. Their grace was amazing. Their willingness to forgive, their determination not to be humiliated. And part of what they said was, we've learned through being athletes and through fighting for each other and being tough and sacrificing for each other, that we are not going to stand for this, yeah, sort of thing, and that it doesn't touch us. And it shamed the men who were involved. They climbed above the level that the men, the grotesque level that the men had established, and from a position of great grace wrote something really quite brilliant and beautiful.
That's leadership, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, Bill Littlefield,
it's also the antithesis of locker room talk.
Exactly.
Whatever that may be in this strange season that we've entered.
Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear it every Saturday on WBUR at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. and every Wednesday with us at Radio Boston. Bill, thank you as always.
Thank you, Meghna.